Now, each week, I try and get the word of the Lord that I feel that the Lord would have me share. And there's been times when I've repeated things or I've reworked sermons, and I call that going into the sermon pantry. When you've been preaching for a few years, you get a collection of studies and things that you've done and a record of that. But in my opinion, there's nothing that beats fresh food, amen? And even naturally, there's nothing that beats fresh food. You just can't beat it. It's the way to go. And so let me just share with you how it happens for me, that you might have your spiritual ears and eyes open, because usually the Lord speaks to us when we least expect it, and when we're just going about our day-to-day business, right? And sometimes I might just get the word, a word from the Lord in conversation, if I'm talking to someone, and as we're talking, it brings some revelation or a word comes in, and you, it never leaves you. I'm sure we've all experienced that sort of thing, right? And it resonates with you. Other times it might be while you're praying or reading the words. Maybe you might be listening to music. Maybe you might be driving your car, watching and playing with the kids. You know, I watch my kids and play with them, and I see sometimes the Lord shows me things by the what they do, especially to do with the Father, the heart of the Father. And sometimes I'm just thinking about stuff, and the Lord will give us some direction. And so this week I was just sitting in my office chair, and I was thinking, right, here I go, I'm about to do some studies in preparation for today. And I just sat there and said, well, what on earth am I going to share on this week? That's what I said. What on earth am I going to share on this week? Just sort of talking to myself. And immediately the Lord dropped the scripture into my spirit. And it was a scripture in relation to hope. And can I tell you, I just love it when that happens. Because you don't have to go through the process sometimes. Is this what I'm meant to do, Lord? Is this what I'm meant to do? And we all do that when we go through this life, because we want to get the mind of the Lord when we make decisions, right? And when we do things, that we might be led by the Spirit of God. And so sometimes we can battle with weighing up, is this you, Lord? Is it me? I'll put a fleece out. I'll just step out. If the door's open, it's open. If it's closed, it's closed. I'm sure we've all done those things, right? And so it was great, because I just casually just said to myself, and the Lord just gave me a word like that. And man, I just love that when that happens. Amen. It's exciting. And especially this week, as there's been some extra challenges in my household with the children. At the start of the week, they got what's called hand, foot and mouth disease. And I only thought animals could get that, but apparently it's pretty common in children. Adults don't usually get it. And so that sort of works out in whingy, clingy, crying kids, broken sleep, and all that sort of stuff. So that was my week, right? And then the car broke down. And I'm sure the Lord is just dealing with my attitude, that we might respond well. Can someone turn the air on, please? One of the deacons or someone. Thanks, guys. So I'm sure that the Lord is just dealing with my attitude, that I might respond well. Amen? That nothing would affect my attitude. And anyway, the summary of all that this week is I've still got some ways to go. All right? But God is on my case. Amen? Now, you might laugh, but let me tell you a little secret this morning. God's on your case also. So it makes me feel all the better knowing that God's on our case, amen? He's interested in causing us to be imitators of Him. He's interested in making those things that are dead become alive. He's interested in causing this little flickering flame, that's a smoldering flame as the Bible talks about it, right? Into something that is alive. Amen? Because He's coming for a bride that represents Him. And I know when I look at a lot of Christians in the church, I don't see that. I see apathy, I see dryness, I see deadness, and I'll tell you what, man, I want to see Holy Spirit life. Amen? That God who is in us would cause things to become alive, because He's in us. That's who He is. That we might be a passionate people. That we might be excited about the things of God. that we might move away from institution and religiousness and legalism. Amen. Because we are the answer to this world through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So this morning our key scripture is found in Proverbs 13:12. If you want to turn there. Proverbs 13:12. And this is what it says. It says, hope deferred, we know the scripture, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, ho ho ho, it is a tree of life. Amen? When desire comes, it is a tree of life. The Message Bible says, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heartsick, but a sudden good break can turn life around. It gives you a bit of an understanding, but it's not a very good rendition, I don't think. So a lot of people are heartsick. And I'm sure most of us here have felt at times like we're dealing with one thing after another in this walk and in this life. I know I do. It's just when we sort out one issue, it's like we're on to the next issue. And just when we deal with that, it's like, oh, something else seems to happen. And just when we sort that out, it seems like something else is taking place. Is it just me? This is common to a lot of us, I'm sure, right? It's like an unrelenting Groundhog Day. And words that I'm hearing a lot these days are disappointment. You know, they might not speak it, but you can hear it in their voice. You can hear it in the conversations. Discouragement. Dissatisfaction. Right? And we're just, people are going through life. And you can hear the words because they are the issues of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you hear the words that people are saying. And you can see that there's discouragement. You can see that there's even sometimes depression. Right? Dissatisfaction, disappointment, and the expectation that has been upon God's word has become deferred, which means prolonged. And so all of us are pretty good at standing strong to begin with, right? When something happens, you know, we begin to believe God, we stand strong and we pray into the situation and we're being encouraged about the word of God that is towards us and not against us, right? And we start, you know, getting into it like, oh, I'm going to stand against this thing and I'm going to pray and I'm going to contend. And we look at the scriptures and it stirs us and we see what it says. So we stand upon that promise and we take that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. And we might go around and stab a couple of demons here and there and do a parry here and a parry there and get our shield of faith and hit something there. Right? We're strong. Look out, devil, here I come. A situation has just come into my life and we start fighting against it and we're feeling pretty good about it, right? We're motivated. We're declaring and proclaiming and having a great expectation that a change is not just going to happen, but it is imminent. It is going to take place. Because we feel like we're applying the word of God and we're standing in faith. So this is like the seed that we sow that I mentioned last week. And we found out that we can sow and not reap. And this guy had sown three times and he still had not seen any fruit. He had still not seen a harvest. He had still not seen any return, so to speak, due to sowing in wrong places, not watering the seed, having unforgiveness that we found out, and even sowing bad seed or trying to do things in your own strength and not by the leading of the Lord. Now, having said that, there are certain things that we struggle with that can make being that overcomer all the more difficult because God's called us to be an overcomer, right? And especially when we feel like, you know, we are a people of faith and things that we struggle with are like delay. That's a tough word, isn't it? Delay. The opposite seems to be happening. There is a lack of something that is needed. Maybe it's finances, maybe it's accommodation, maybe it, whatever it is, right? Yet we don't see it. There seems to be lack to what would we perceive to meet the need. Our logic, something I struggle with, especially males, because we think more logically. And we struggle with that sort of thing. Our ability to understand God's ways, because he says his ways are higher than our ways, right? And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So we struggle with that in God's purpose and things because they are different to man's. Conflicting results. I don't know how many times the Lord has gone 1 + 1 = 3. And we're like, 1 + 1 = 2, but what is going on here? And it messes with us. Struggling with walking by faith because we're called to walk by faith and not by sight, but everything we see seems to be a contradiction to things that are taking place. We're not seeing that favor sometimes. We're not seeing that blessing sometimes. But then, Lord, this is what your word says, right? And then it can impact on us, but that's because we're walking by what we see. Worry and concern. Big one for parents, right, with children. We get concerned about things. Being able just to trust God regardless of anything whatsoever, whether it be good or bad, that we might be able to rest in faith, whether there be any results or lack of them. That we'd be able to rest upon the word. Amen. Being able to give all to him. Everything that we are, that we give all to him. And that also means the unanswered questions. Because sometimes we have a lot of unanswered questions, right? Sometimes we even feel hurt or have hurt. And sometimes our will, that we might be able to surrender these things to him. And then letting him take the wheel of your life and take full control. And allowing God to be the one that keeps you and he be the one that directs you. Because sometimes in the makeup of us as humans, we're like, oh, I won't do that because this is the result. Or I won't do that because that's going to end up disastrous. Or I won't do that because this is the experience that I've had previously, right? But God made us. And he knows what is best. And he knows how to outwork it best. And he knows how to walk this best. And he knows what's ahead. And we don't. But we get these things conflict with us if we allow them to. And they can overwhelm and they can consume and they can burden you and they can become a weight if we allow them to, church. Amen? It can steal our peace and it can steal our expectation. And our expectation becomes deferred, making us heartsick, which literally means the wounding of your soul. The very makeup of who you are and who God has called you to be, if you are heartsick, you are damaged. Damaged goods, if you like. The wounding of the soul. So this is just, this morning I'm just being realistic. This is the life that we live, right? Let's not sugarcoat it. There are struggles we have to contend with and things we have to overcome and stuff we have to walk through, right? This is the life that we are in. And I'm not trying to portray a message that when we receive Christ, that everything is good all the time and we never have to endure or overcome anything. Absolutely not. But what I am saying is now that we have Christ, he is always there to help you. He's there to rest in. He's there to cry out to. He's there to lean upon. He's a strong tower. He's that cleft in the rock. He enables you to go through things as a good soldier. Amen. He enables you to stand in your weakness and even with uncertainty that we might be able to stand. And God's promise to you was that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Why would he say that? Well, I believe it's because Jesus knows the difficulties and the challenges that we face. And so he has placed himself in the very midst of it. Adopted us in his sons. Amen. And given us authority in Christ Jesus as ambassadors for the kingdom of God. That we might be able to walk and endure and proclaim and stand upon the word of truth. And be that overcomer and lean upon Christ, our strength. Because he's placed our feet upon a rock. So he's placed us on something unmovable that we might be able to go through and contend with what we face. Amen? So Jesus wants our hope, our expectation to be solely upon him. And what we tend to do is place our expectation, our hope, upon everything else in life. And when it doesn't happen or it's contrary to our understanding, the heart becomes affected. And a big one that messes with that is finances. Something I've had to really contend with myself. 1 Peter 1:21, this is what it says. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Where's our faith and our hope to be? In God. Nothing else, in God. That your faith and your hope might be in God. God is wanting our complete, not partial, but total faith and hope to be in him. I want to tell you, it's probably a bit of a bad analogy, but let me just tell you a little story this morning just to lighten things up a bit. There was a man and he went into the airport and he just wanted to get himself a bag of those little donuts, right? And so he grabs this, he takes his luggage and grabs his bag of donuts and he's looking around for a seat to sit down to eat his donuts before he has to jump on a plane. And all the seats are full, but he sees a man sitting at a table on his own and there's a chair opposite him, so he thought, oh, I'll just go and sit down there. So he sits down there and as he sits down, he opens up the bag on the table and he pulls out a donut and eats a donut. And the man across from him smiles at him. He smiles back. And then a man across from him reaches across and grabs the bag, puts his hand in, grabs a donut out, and begins to eat the donut. And so this man's thinking to himself, man, the nerve of this guy. You know, he's eating my donuts. So he grabs the bag closer to himself, puts his hand in the bag, pulls out a donut, begins to eat it, smiles at the guy. The guy smiles back. And he said, oh, that'll stop that. These are my donuts. And then the guy reaches across and drags the bag over and puts his hand in, pulls out a donut, pushes it back and eats the donut. And this guy just can't understand it. This is my donuts. And he's helping himself to them. And he thought, oh, so he pulls them close to himself. And then the other man stands up and he grabs the bag of donuts, puts his hand in. He goes, he's going to take my donuts. Puts his hand in, bites half of the donut, puts the other half back, smiles at him and puts the bag down. And this guy, he just couldn't believe it. Oh, this is ridiculous. You know, I've got to go catch my flight. So the other guy left. He goes, I've got to go catch my flight. I've got to leave. So as he goes to leave, he realizes his bag of donuts is on his luggage. Right? Now, the moral of the story here, and this is what we need to understand, God owns all the donuts. All right? He owns them all. Whether they're somebody else's or they're yours, God owns all the donuts. And he gives us 10 donuts, right? And he asks that we might give him one donut back. But they're all his donuts anyway, right? So we're talking about tithes here. And he only asks for one donut back. But they're all his anyway. He owns the whole lot. The trouble that we have is now that I've got 9 donuts, but I need 11. Can you relate to that? God's wanting this. Now I don't seem to have enough and I even need more than what I started with. That seems to be my life. But I'm telling you, because God owns all the donuts, he owns it all, somehow, and I don't know how this works, well I do, it's his principle of his word, somehow you end up with 11 donuts and he meets your need. Amen? But you need to give to receive. And so we need to understand that we can trust God in anything because it's all him. He is in complete control. He owns all the donuts. He is the one that's the king over all. Amen. He is the king. It is his word. So we don't have to be concerned. But can we trust him? because we complain that someone else is putting their hand in our bag and taking what we think is rightfully ours. He owns all the donuts, church. Amen. He owns the lot. It's Him. Hallelujah. Now, because we are the ones that are walking through this life, God has actually given us some keys and some instructions and some examples in His Word to help us out. Amen. And so why don't we turn to a common portion of Scripture. It's found in Psalms 23, verse 4. You'll know it when you see it. Psalms 23, verse 4. And this is what it says. Yea, although, depends on your version you're reading from there, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Who's heard that scripture before? Everyone, right? I'm sure we have. It doesn't seem like an encouraging scripture to start off with, right? Especially when you're talking about hope. But it is, and we'll get there. It starts off by telling us, though I walk, I'm walking. I'm not thrown in the towel. I am walking. I'm journeying on. I'm not laying in the fetal position. I am walking. Amen? Though I walk. And in spite of the fact that I'm actually moving, I'm still not immune from finding myself in a valley. And at times I'm even walking places when all seems lost. Places where I can't really see the future. Places where I don't really see the horizon. Places of difficulty at times. I don't even know if I'm heading in the right direction because I'm in this valley. And at times it can be dark, and you know what? I don't even really like the dark because God said I'm a child of light, but here I am in this dark place. What have I done? I've continued to walk, yet I've found myself in this valley. Here I am in this place. Here I am in this circumstance. Here I am dealing with this difficulty. You know what? And even at times I might even feel lonely because I'm the one that's having to deal with this. I even give a bit of a cooey, but there's no reply. I'm in this valley, and it seems like I've been in this place for ages. Can we relate to that, church? I can relate to that. And so this man is doing what he knows to do, and that is to walk and to keep on keeping on. And in doing so, he finds himself dealing with the circumstance of life. He is in a valley. And he says, but I will fear no evil. In other words, I'm not going to be concerned or worried about anything bad. I'm not going to be concerned or worried about any trouble or affliction or adversity or anything that's going to come my way. I'm not going to be concerned about it. That's what that word means when you look it up in the Hebrew, right? I will fear no evil. It doesn't say it will never happen. It tells us not to fear it. Be strong and of good courage, Joshua 1:9 tells us, right? And this scripture is dependent upon your choice, because of some little awesome words there used, the words I. I will fear no evil. I choose to walk. Though I walk through the valley, right? Though I walk, I choose to fear no evil. So we see right there that God has given a truth right there, that God has given us the free will of choice to choose to walk, and to choose to fear no evil, and to trust Him in everything. He has placed it upon ourselves that we would trust Him at His word because of those words, I will fear no evil, and I will choose to walk. It then goes on to encourage us as to the reason why we can trust Him. It says, because He is with you. Thou art with you. Now, is He with you, church? Now just pretend I know nothing. And you tell me, and I don't even know the Lord or something, and you're telling me that God is with you. And I ask you the question, well, how do you know he is with you? So I'm asking you today, you need to tell me, right? How do I know that he is with you? That's what the word says, but how do you guys know that he's with you? Gives you peace?
Through faith.
Through faith? Is that what you said? Comforter? So because of love, that we understand how much he loves us and cares for us, we can understand. Yep, you had that this week. All right, anything else? Because he said it. All right. I mean, this has been practical this morning, right? If you say this to a non-believer, that he's for you, that he's with you, they're going to say, well, how do you know? And I like to think like this, because we should be ready for an answer. And I was thinking about, what about our forefathers or those who have walked this walk in times past? They have a testimony, right? There's testimonies of healing. There's testimonies of provision. There's testimonies from the forefathers in the faith of things that have taken place that we can share with confidence for those who have gone before us, right? And one of those is Jesus. So that's a powerful one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Even this week, my wife, she rightfully, corrected me. No, it's okay. It's all right. I have no problem with that. And reassured me in trusting God. And I was getting concerned in the natural about our ability to do some stuff, right? The logic of man. One plus one, not adding up, you know. To which Sharon responds, and this is what she usually tells me when I start to talk to her about these sorts of things. Just don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. God's going to sort it out. It's his problem. Don't worry about it. And that's why God has given me a great woman of faith, because he knew at times that I needed her to pick me up and support me, because I'm beginning to think like a man instead of what God has promised and trusting him. Because he is for me. Amen. He owns all the donuts, remember? So we don't have to worry about it. We can have peace. And we all have our moments, there's no doubt about that. And we all need reminding that he is God and he is in complete and total control and that he is with you. And he's not only with you, he's actually for you. Amen. And sometimes in our messed up thinking, we can think that somehow he's against us. But he's not. Just that his way of refining man and his way of perfecting the saints and his way of doing the work and bringing this bride, readying the bride, is very different to our way. And he'll use circumstances and things that we think are a massive deal and a big problem, but we don't see what God's doing in the midst of it. That it's something significant because he's interested in the character and the spirit of a man and the fabric of who you are to cause you to be an imitator of him. And so this passage goes on to say, his rod and his staff comfort you. Now, his rod and his staff. So somehow the rod and the staff are bringing me comfort. Now, when I think of a rod and the staff, I'm not thinking of comfort. I knew what the rod was when I was growing up, I can tell you that. Amen. And it certainly wasn't comfort. But the scriptures said his rod and his staff comfort you. So firstly, the rod is referred to the rod of Christ's strength and the staff of the promises and the provisions of God, God's house. And so the Lord guides us with his rod, and he sustains us with his staff. And with his staff, he rules and he guides the flock. And he takes us into green pastures, amen? And he defends us from our enemies. He defends the flock from the enemies. He also corrects the sheep when they're disobedient. And he brings back the sheep when they're wandering. Right? So we're talking about a shepherd, because the staff is certainly a picture of a shepherd. And which is, we see in that a great picture that God, the love that God has for his people. And when, so when the sheep see the shepherd, it actually brings comfort to them because of his presence and his office. And it brings confidence as the shepherd shows the flock that he's not going to leave them alone, that he's going to stand for them, that he's going to defend them, that he's going to feed them, that he's going to run after them, that he's going to lead them, right? So then the flock can have confidence in seeing the shepherd doing that. Hallelujah. And so there's another aspect to the staff, and which was used for the telling and the numbering of sheep. And the Jewish people used to, every 10th sheep they used to mark, which is a picture of the tithe again, as they would count and number the sheep. And so the same is true for us being the sheep of Christ. We have passed under his rod, and each and every one of us has been numbered by him to the point that he knows how many hairs you have on your head, and he calls you by name. Isn't that awesome? And the New Testament outworking of this is the shepherd points out the path of faith, truth, and holiness that the saint should walk in, and he feeds the sheep. He also preserves the flock from the ravenous wolves of false teachers as part of the job. So the rod and the staff are both designed by God for God's pastoral care over his people. And knowing that is a great comfort to us all, that we have been numbered by the Lord. Amen. We've been accounted for by him. We've passed under his rod, and he has numbered us, and he calls us by name. He knows us intimately. Amen. And so that is why you can trust in him, church. That is why the rod and the staff bring such comfort, because it speaks about that relationship between him being a chief shepherd towards us, that he's going to run after you, that he's going to stand for you, that he's going to defend you. Amen. That he has numbered you and counted you, and you're accounted for by him. Therefore, there is a great hope and expectation. Amen. Now, all throughout the Bible, you will find that each word that is used when you do your studies, and I'm talking about the King James, you can read any version, but if you need a study, it's the best one to work off of, because you'll find every word has three definitions in the Word of God. That's because it's the numerical pattern that God has put in his Word. So the one that most people know is love. Eros, philio, agape, love, right? We've heard that before. I'm not going to teach on that, but there's three breakdowns. And so this is also true for the word hope. You can look up any word, and you'll find it to be true. And so this is true, also true for the word hope. And the word hope is usually and rightfully explained as expectation. That's what it means, expectation. It's not the word hope that's found in the world. It's an expectation. Amen? So we have an expectation. So when we read the word hope in the Bible, replace it with expectation. Most times that is how it's interpreted. But it also means to wait, to be patient, to stay, and to trust. Meaning we stand, in other words, if you want to sum up those words. And the third meaning likens hope to an attachment like a cord. And that is obviously an attachment to Christ. So what it's teaching in this word hope is that we stand in faith with an expectation, trusting, staying the course, and moving upon Christ's word, for our hope is only found and connected to him. That's hope. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now let me give you Pastor Guy's revised edition of that scripture. Rejoicing in confident expectation with an unwavering perseverance during times of difficulty, while earnestly pursuing Christ in worship and prayer. Amen. Rejoicing. Where's the joy these days? Amen. Where's the joy upon people because of who he is? This triumphant joy an expectation because of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's make sure our hope is upon Him, church. I want to finish by sharing a story with you. Because it seems like I watch my kids and they play with a toy and suddenly there's a noise over there and they just get distracted. They're so involved here, next thing they're like, over here. And then this one starts making noise and so the other one comes on over. And then this one goes over there, then he's like, hey, what's going on over there? So he's over there. And I watch them, it's like, man, you guys just can't stay still for a second, right? And it's a lot like us where sometimes God wants us to show us something or He's trying to do something, but we don't see the obvious. And let me share a story that explains that to you. There was a man who had a dog. And he took the dog to the lake and he threw the stick out onto the lake. And the dog ran across the water, ran on top of the water, grabbed the stick and ran back. And this man was like, what is going on with my mind? Did I just see what I saw? What is happening? What is taking place? And he goes, oh man, I just can't deal with this. So he just said, I took the dog home. And he said, I'm going to bring my neighbor tomorrow just to make sure I'm not going crazy. So he brought his neighbor and he threw the stick out onto the lake again. And the dog ran across the water, grabbed the stick and brought it back. And he sort of looked at his neighbor and thought, okay. So he said to his neighbor, hey neighbor, did you notice anything interesting about my dog? And his neighbor started laughing and said, yeah, I did actually. He goes, I noticed that your dog can't swim. Right? Sometimes what God is trying to show us, we see something totally different. And what is obvious, it doesn't become obvious to us, right? We need to open our eyes and trust God. Why don't we just stand this morning?